Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, February 10th. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And the readers today are the 12 Steps, Patricia C., the 12 Traditions, Tanya P. The readers of the text are Deanne F., Dawn B., and Becca R. Today we'll be reading from the Big Book in the chapter Into Action on page 77, the second paragraph down. Under no circumstances do we criticize, through one paragraph ending at the top of the next page, with we will be gratified with the results. Comments on that one paragraph only. The share ID for yesterday's Sunday special edition, February 9th, is 22,150. That's 22150. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, February the 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 22,151. That's 22151. Our newcomer greeter is Carla H., and the announcements person is Shelley E. Thank you all for your service. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, or religious doctrine, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning. This is Patricia C. in North Carolina. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me participate, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Patricia C., and I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. I'm Tanya P., recovered in Michigan, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direct recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action on page 77, second paragraph down at the bottom of the page. Under no circumstances do we criticize, through one paragraph ending with, we will be gratified with the results, and the comments will be on that one paragraph only. I will now ask DANF to get us started. Good morning, Deanne.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can.
Great. Good morning, everyone. This is Deanne F. From New York, where it is sunny and snow-covered, and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater for this day. I am not sure if I'm supposed to read the paragraph, but I am.
Yes. Please read the paragraph first.
Good. Okay. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. So, you know, I just want to say that, you know, just even in the opening that Mo was just speaking about, that what we do here is we study the directions in this book. And so the directions are here in this paragraph. They are so crystal clear. It says under no condition. So, you know, my mind can think of so many conditions. And this tells me that under no condition, like there literally is not any, no matter what I think this person may have done to me too, it's under no condition do I criticize such a person or argue. And it says that I simply tell him that I won't ever be able to get over compulsively overeating. If I don't do my utmost, and my utmost is that I'm willing to go as far as I can. Like, I love looking up words, and that is what that actually means. I have to do my utmost, go as far as possible to straighten out my path, and that I am there to sweep off my side of the street. And I realize that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished. Not something worthwhile, but literally nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until I do this. And that I am never, again, very, very clear these directions, never to tell him what he should do. And I'm not there to discuss his faults. And I have to stick to my own. And this was really hard for me when I realized that if I was going to have any recovery, that I would have to do this with my ex-husband. And I had really felt like it was really all his fault. And there were many faulty things. But until I was entirely willing to do exactly what these directions said, that it didn't matter what he did at all, that I had to be calm, frank, and open about this. And free means forthright. I mean, frank means sincere, forthright, open. And these were just not things that I thought that I would be able to do, but this is the amazing blessing, is that that's why we have a power greater than ourselves, because I said that set-aside prayer before I ever actually made this amends to him or to any other person, and that is asking God to help me set aside everything I think I know about this whole situation so that I can have an open mind, an open heart, and a new experience. And that is the way that I have been able to continue to have a relationship with that person and anyone else that I am so willing to go to this length that they tell me I must go. So with time. That, I pass.
Oh,
thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, DNF, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph in the chapter Into Action, the bottom of page 77, second paragraph, under no condition do we criticize, and it ends with, we will be gratified with the result. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Linda G. in Alabama.
Linda G. Alabama.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Arizona.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Malka S.
Malka S. So I have Linda G, Deborah G, Veronica B, Malka S. Anyone else want to get in this lineup?
Joan Marie.
Okay. Okay, got you, Joan Marie.
Thank you.
All right, let's stop there. Everyone mute except Linda G from Alabama. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Thank you for leading the meeting. I said the serenity prayer before I did this, and I kept my big book in front of me to remind me that I had to just clean up my side of the street, because it was hard. It was very hard, because the people on my amends list had done plenty wrong, and I had to choke it down and ignore it and just clean up my side of the street. And when I did, people that I was making my amends to, one of them owned up to his wrongs and blew me away because I didn't expect it at all. And the other one gave me big, big credit for owning up to my wrongs and talked to me for like an hour about how happy he was that I had owned up to what I had done wrong. And I didn't expect that at all. And it was a really good conversation. And it relieved me of a lot of the guilt I felt about, in both cases, about what I had done wrong, and helped me ease up on myself in a big way. I'm doing the steps again now, and more stuff is coming up about what I did wrong to both of them, and I don't know if I'll go back to them or not, because I already made my amends to them, so I don't know if I'll go back to them again or not, but it's on a more visceral level now than it was before, and it's hard. It's really hard. But I'm still learning, and I'm learning more every day. Mm-hmm. With credit to my higher power for leading me into more knowledge and more understanding of myself and what I've done and why. I'm getting a broader understanding of who I am and who I've been. Right. Thank you very much. And with that, I'll wrap this up and pass. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you very much, Linda G. from Alabama. Next is Deborah G. and then Veronica B. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for your service and everyone that's making this meeting possible. I love this meeting. And welcome, welcome to all newcomers, any newcomers on the line. I'm so glad that you're here. Excuse me. And wow, yes, you know, I continue to become aware of how the importance of praying, continually, pray, when I can remember to, when I don't, then I get myself in trouble because then I'm in frustration and I've really got to be open to being aware of my tone of voice with others. My sponsor reminds me to meet people where they're at. Another person's words were, you know, don't get frustrated. And I've learned in the past through trial and error, you know, sometimes I have had that happen. And but, you know, I'm learning. Continually learning to have love and compassion and kindness. And to know I've been there. They're just like me, no different. And I'm dealing with a spiritual disease that they've been affected by, not a spiritual disease, a disease that needs spiritual help. And my attempt to do anything other than that to be helpful. You know, sometimes I feel like if I just share about myself and my experience, it seems to go a lot better. And they tend to hear that more than if I come across any other way than that, because that's all I have is my experience, strength, and hope. And I see myself as a lantern to guide them through the steps or guide them through a situation And I've also learned, and it's a continual learning, of wait for the question. If they're not asking for my help or advice or whatever, all I have to do is listen. Sometimes just listening is helpful because a lot of times they find their own solution by talking and by just listening. So it's just been an ongoing learning experience for me. And yes, it says, you know, don't, I surely wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of criticism and harshness and all that. So I need to remember that with other people. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Up next is Malka S. and then Joan Marie M. And after Joan Marie, I'll pick another lineup. Good morning, Malka.
Good morning, everyone. This is Malka S. calling from Mexico. Gratefully recovered for today. Thank you, everyone, for your service. So just to repeat this line because it just stuck out so much for me. Simply, we tell them we will. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing is worthwhile. Nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. So there were times where, for me, in my amends process, that you know, coming to somebody who interactions would normally be full of argument, defensiveness, conflict, and kind of going to them and sweeping up my side of the street was very scary for me. And I remember that in one particular amends that I really needed to bite my tongue. And, you know, not because I didn't want them to know how I felt, but because I wanted to follow the directions of this book because I knew that the directions of this book work. And I needed to surrender completely in order for that to happen. And I felt for me that sweeping off my side of the street means learning to listen, to the other person better, and just keeping quiet for a moment, and instead of getting defensive, instead of arguing back. And I knew that, you know, with this new power, with this new perspective that I can gain from this work, from the 12 steps, that instead of, you know, arguing back, or instead of kind of beating a dead horse with you know, issues, that I can give my feelings, I can give my thoughts, I can give what I need to say, I can give that all to God. And I can give that to God instead, which for me worked really well. I think that's all I have to share today. But thank you so much, everyone.
Well, thank you, Malka S. And from Mexico, I apologize, Veronica B. I skipped over your name. Would you like to share now? Veronica.
Hi, thank you so much. That's okay.
I apologize.
It's okay. No big deal. Hi, I'm Veronica, recovered compulsive overeater in California. In the amends process, you know, when I came into OA, my sponsor asked me if I was willing to go to any length to get abstinent, get recovered. I said, yes, I was willing. And, you know, making amends was very hard for me because I had to set my ego aside, and I had to straighten out the path, right, like it says here. So on flashcards, I wrote the person's name down, and I wrote down only how I caused them harm. It didn't matter if they had 30% of the harm. If I had 70% or they had 30%, I was only allowed to talk about my 70% of the harm. You know, I would state the harm, and then I would give them an opportunity to ask them, is there anything that I left out that I am not aware of? And that's when I let them talk. I don't
I don't criticize. I don't judge. I just listen. And then when they are finished talking, the way I was taught is I say, how can I set things right? What can I do to set this right? That is how I feel the deal. I say, what can I do to set things right? And then I let them talk again. And whatever they suggest that'll make them feel better is the action that I have to take, you know? And at no time am I allowed to say or to justify their behavior for my behavior. I'm not allowed to bring up anything that may have harmed me that they did to me. You know, the whole point is for me to, you know, set things right and just point out my harm. And then I have to, you know, be willing to set that right by asking them. I'm sorry. Just like, you know, I harmed you. How can I set this right? And then going forward, a day at a time, try not to do that behavior again. Because that's the whole point. The whole point is for me to change my behavior. And because that's God's will for me. I am here to feel connected to God by doing his will, or what I think God would have me be, right? So this is how I would have to ask him, what can I do to set things right? How can I set this right? You know, and then go and try to, you know, change my behavior by whatever they suggest. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Veronica B. And before I take Joan Marie M., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're in the chapter Into Action, page 77. The second paragraph down begins with, under no circumstances do we criticize. And it ends on the top of the next page, we will be gratified with the result. After Joan Marie, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. What stood out to me was we are there to sweep off our side of the street. Well, I've been around the block for a long time here, and I'm just saying that, just to say it, that we're learning all the time. And I really skipped over a lot of things going through the steps in the beginning, but this particular sentence really stood out to me. And what I did was I did the hardest ones first, not expecting, oh my gosh, oh, we're, you know, any response from the person. I was there to tell the wrongs that I had done, and not to criticize or defend myself. That was up to God. And I just had some good experiences and some that weren't that good. But again, it wasn't about that. I had to clear myself from my side of the street and the wrongs that I did so that the connection with my Creator would be stronger than ever. And today, you know, I walk through the day and I can see when I have a slip or whatever, and I just say, okay, God, I don't like it, I don't want it, and please forgive me. And that really helps me not to have to do a whole bunch of 10 steps. I do a nightly review every night, and that's important. And yesterday I was able this morning, because I texted my sponsor this morning, that it was a rough day yesterday, not food-wise, but emotionally. And so I just stuck myself in the TV. But today I read the other big book, Psalms 103, and all the benefits of God. And so instead of being self-pity, I'm grateful today for this program, for everyone that shares, and it really does work if we work it. Thanks for letting me share. God bless everyone.
Thank you very much, Joan Marie. I'm from Nevada. And although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry.
Was that Sherry?
Yes, Sherry H.M.
H.M., okay.
Elizabeth G.
Elizabeth D., you're a little faint, Elizabeth E., but I got you.
Hillary B.
Hillary.
Jeff A., California.
Jeff A. Anyone else?
Hi.
Okay,
Deb,
who was that?
Hi, Mo, it's Deborah G. I was wondering if I could have a different chance again because I was cheering from a wrong place.
Oh, no, let's just let it pass, Deborah, so others can have time to share.
Okay, thank you, Mo.
Yeah. Anyone else want to share on this paragraph? All right, let's go with everybody mute except Sherry H.M. I have Sherry H.M., Elizabeth B., Hillary B., and Jeff A.
Good morning, this is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered, calling from Washington State. I love how our historian calls steps 5 and 9 the great emancipators. So I'm just kind of thinking about that and remembering one of the first amends I made was to a friend of mine who we just had gotten in kind of an argument. And so anyway, just I expected after I was done sharing, you know, what I did wrong. And I really expected her then to say her what I thought was her part. Well, like they say, there's three kinds of business: my business, God's business, and none of my business. So anyway, that was that never came. And I went and I called my sponsor right away. And anyway, she's like, great reminder. You know, this is about you, Sherry. This is not about you know, your friend, and this is how we get free. So anyway, I remember, you know, expectations are premeditated resentments, and resentment is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. So now I go in with them, you know, just my side of the street. The street sweeper does come by my house a fair amount of time, so it's always a great reminder. So anyway, thanks so much, and everybody have a blessed day.
Thank you very much, Sherry H.M. from Washington State. Up next is Elizabeth D., followed by Hillary B. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hi there. Can you hear me clearly now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in the Boston area, but I'm traveling in California today. And this paragraph means a lot to me. I've done a number of different amends, and one in particular was a tricky one because the man that I needed to make amends to was someone who put my health in jeopardy by his behavior. And he was, I learned, quite a sick man. And in some ways, if I had had direct contact with him in making the amends, it would have put I would have put myself emotionally and potentially physically in danger. So what I had to do, it took me a long time to see my part in what went wrong. And mainly it was because I wasn't listening to the signals he was giving that he wasn't interested in a committed relationship, an exclusive committed relationship. I wasn't listening. I wasn't hearing. I didn't want it. I was being selfish. I was being self-centered. All I want is a man. and I am going to change him, etc. I needed to see that that was my part in keeping something going that was jeopardizing my health. And when it came time to do amends, I talked with a number of different people who had walked the path before me and were recovered, and they helped me see that I needed to make amends to God and write a letter to myself and not have contact with him again and not enable his bad behavior. So, you know, that I ended up running into him later, but I just turned in the other direction, and I've gone on my way, and that resentment is gone and was gone almost instantly. The other thing that I do when I'm making an amends where it's not that kind of situation, I always end, like I heard previously, with, is there anything that I haven't mentioned, any harm that I did to you that I haven't mentioned? I want to give you some time to share with me what it felt like for me to do what I did to you. I want you to have that time. And that has been a real source of healing for me. Other people that I've given amends to over the years. So anyway, I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Elizabeth D. She's traveling in California, but she's from the Boston area, Massachusetts. Up next is Hillary B., followed by Jeff A. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Hillary B., a recovered compulsive overeater for today.
Where are you calling from,
Hillary?
Southern
California.
Okay,
I'm in Southern California, Pacific time. Thank you. I want to share, not quite exactly maybe on the paragraph, but it is on amends. So I've made lots of amends in my time in OA, and it's easy. I mean, it's not easy, but it's kind of easy to make amends to people that I don't see regularly. It's what's easy is not redoing the same behavior that I've made amends for. However, with my husband, who I have been struggling with for the past few weeks, struggling inside myself, misbehaving, things I've already made amends for too many times. And he had his license suspended, not from drinking, but because of a heart condition. And it seemed like such a small thing. He had his license suspended. I'll be giving him rides. But man, it's blown up our relationship, blown it up. And we both have been struggling, power struggles, me thinking, I know what he should be treating him and saying to him, I know what you should do this, and him, whatever his part. And I just have been struggling, and I have made amends a couple of times, and then I go right back to the same behavior. And thank goodness I haven't had to eat over it. I've done so much writing, reading, talking to other people, praying, and I can't explain why it's been so difficult and why it's caused me to have to go so my own connection with my higher power, and to find the love in me that I can have for him. And to know that I'm not his higher power. And just, it's just been so, so hard. And I just wanted to share, because I haven't shared on this line in so long, and I have just been a lurker, and wanted to put my recovery out there. And maybe this hearing what all of you have had to share is also helping me to change my point of view. And then doing the nightly review, putting him on the nightly review, it hasn't helped me change. So it's just like, as long as I'm abstinent, stuff is going to keep coming up for me to look at. Behaviors, ways of thinking. Oh, there's my 3 minutes. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mo, for calling on me, or for hearing me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much, Hillary B. from California. Before I take Jeff A., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 77 in the chapter Into Action. Second paragraph down, under no circumstances do we criticize, and it ends at the top of page 78. We will be gratified with the result. And after Jeff, I'll take a few more names. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff A. in California. Good, really good shares. Six years ago, I was fired after 25 years in a company, and I could only see their part. Last year, I made my amends to the guy who fired me. And after I did that, and it was hard as hell because I felt like he had harmed me more. In any case, then that peace that they talk about in the big book descended upon me. And I have no desire to, when I pray for him, I pray for whatever he needs and what his wife needs and his kids and his work. And I have no animosity whatsoever. And that's a miracle. Unfortunately, I had two people to make amends to. One was a friend and one was him. Recently, my higher power has been telling me that there are some more amends I need to make. I was six in the company, and the five were on top, and I saw them occasionally, but they were together every week for months and years. And I now am realizing that I have more amends to make, and I'm not happy about it. But the program definitely works for me, and I'm going to send two of my amends to my sponsor today, and we'll find out what he thinks. The other two, I can't imagine that I need to do anything, and that probably is a problem too. So I just need to put it out there. Also, my sponsor said when I did the amends with the other person, my sponsor said, look, the person will tell you what he'd like, but then I don't have to do it. I go right back to the sponsor and see if this makes sense, or I'm a people pleaser. And so I'll say I'm sorry even when I'm not. And so I got to make sure that I go to my sponsor and then I can talk again with that other person. So anyways, that's it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff A. So who would like to take, let's see, we have time for maybe one or two quick shares.
Rhonda W.
Rhonda W.
Karen H.
Karen H. Let's stop there. All right. Rhonda, you go first.
Hi, my name's Rhonda. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Arizona. I remember kicking and screaming it, of course, as usual, by the time I got on my ninth step. And it's one of those, for me, it was one of those steps where you can't explain it with the verbalization of the tongue. Nobody could tell me that I would get such grace from doing this. So in that book where it says we will be amazed, in our book where it says we will be amazed before we are halfway through, and my sponsor explained to me in the midst of my kicking and screaming, because I don't know, I don't owe this one, I don't owe her, and she should apologize to me. And in the midst of that, having my sponsor say, you know, reread that. We will be amazed before we are halfway through. Do you think they mean halfway through the sixth step? No, they mean halfway through the amends. Because your higher power knows this is the hard part, right? My higher power knows me. He knows it's the hard part. This is the part where the rubber meets the road, right? But this is actually the part where I get the most freedom, the most inner peace, that passes all understanding. I tell you, there's, and after years of doing that, it's still not easy for me. And one thing I learned in the beginning was an apology is not an amends. So my sponsor would come with a red pen and cross out the word when I say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Your kids have heard that for years. Your mom's heard that for years. Nobody cares. They don't want to hear that anymore. So from now on, you are not to put I'm sorry in your amends, and amends is to right a wrong. You haven't written your right it, you're wrong all these years. So just saying I'm sorry means nothing to them. So I guess my point, what I'm saying is, in the ninth step, I have to be strategic and make sure I talk to somebody who is outside of my emotional BS, because I'll either not deliver the amends, lie about the amends that I've done it, or I just simply will omit stuff and not say what I should say. And boy, I tell you, you can tell when people are doing that, because we pay gravely, right? I paid gravely for not doing an appropriate amend. So I follow suit of my sponsor and those who have gone on before me in terms of making an amends, because I don't know what I don't know, and I don't know how not to kill myself mentally with my thoughts and emotions. I think what I think is right. Therefore, I have to seek other people in this program before I run off making amends, and I make sure I do that today, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rhonda W. from Arizona. And I can give you 2 minutes, Karen H.
Thank you. This is Karen from Florida, recovered. Very, very grateful. The most profound amends I have made, which today I am still so incredibly grateful for, despite the fact that my mom had passed a number of years ago, was I thought there was no way in heck that I was going to be able to make an amend to my mom, because as I saw it, she had done much more harm to me and my family than I could ever have done to her. And meanwhile, I avoided her like the plague for years. She was always trying to track me down to try to talk to me. I did all kinds of things. I was critical in my mind. I was critical to other people about her. The list could go on of the things that I had done. But yet all I could see glaring was what my mom had done. And in the big book, and I'm grateful because I was in the room since I'm 16, and it was 16 years ago when I found, after decades in what I call traditional rooms, I found the big book and have been living this way. And I thank you, God, because that's where I found God. But in any case, it was there that my heart started to soften a little bit toward her doing this work. And I think that's because I found God. And again, my heart started to melt, and I didn't know how to do an amend to my mom. And I'm so grateful it's not cookie cutter. I really needed to pray and ask God for inspiration as to how to transmit a true amend to my mom from my side of the street and not look at all. In the big book, it talks about that people that are thoroughly bad intended. My mom was not a thoroughly bad intended person. She was just sadly a sick and suffering person. And so with that understanding in my heart that she didn't mean to do harm, it she couldn't help to do harm. She had no program. But in any case, God showed me and revealed to me how to make an amend to my mom that stayed totally on my side of the street. And all I can say is by doing what is described here in this paragraph, the last 20 years of her life, I was in relationship with her, and despite the fact she did not change, we had a much better relationship based on the fact of what God had inspired me to do and living in the daily solution, that I could have compassion for her and even love for her, which we never said the love word to each other. But I did practice beautiful behavior because of this book, kind and caring, gentle, and so the power in this book of how it can transform relationships, thank you, is so miraculous.
Okay. Is that it? Okay. Thank you, Karen. Thank you for closing us out. Thank you, everyone, for your shares on this paragraph. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. I will ask Dawn B. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick, the answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.